All right, folks, welcome back and to this episode of the Leading Off SB Nation podcast. And let's just say the curse of the Minnesota Twins in the playoffs is alive and well. And longtime curse doubter Andrew Gibo is here with me. Andrew, do you believe now, or are you still a doubter of the curse?
I'm a doubter of the curse, but I just think that it's incredible what has happened since 2004, over 16 years, like 18 games, and you haven't won a postseason. I don't know if it's a curse or what it is.
It's impossible. It's literally not possible to do.
It is possible because it's happened.
Yes, but like.
But I will say that after this season, I am beginning to understand the pain and the agony of Twins fans. Because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, you go into this series here. You're playing Houston. It's finally not New York. You've lost 16 playoff games in a row. You're going, all right, this team, they went 29-31. They're very beatable. This Twins team is great. They're going to end their postseason woes. And what do? They go out, get 7 hits over 2 games and 2 runs. It's just an embarrassment.
And the only guy that was able to drive in runs is 40 years old and wears a robe. So,
Or just hit a ball, man.
It's incredibly painful. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, last week when we were on the show and we were previewing this series against the Astros, we were in agreement that, hey, this is a good matchup for the Twins. They have an opportunity to break this curse, if you want to call it that, and flip the narrative. And then it's just, oh, wait, no, just kidding. They still can't win in the postseason.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like competitive games. It was just, what are we doing?
You'd get to the 7th inning. It'd be 1-1, and you'd go, this game's over. Like, the Twins don't have a chance. They have 2 hits.
Yes.
It's like, are you kidding? But yeah, it's like, you knew they were going to lose. It's crazy. It's just, I don't understand.
And it was Sestos of Twins Daily. I think he tweeted out, like, this game is tied, but why does it feel like we're losing?
Right. And that was just both games. It was like, it sucks because through all these years, it's like the Twins haven't had the starting pitching to get them a win in the playoffs. They get to 2020 here. Both Maeda and Barrios are outstanding, and the offense can't score two runs.
Can't do anything.
Literally nothing.
In game one, the one run they scored was because Josh Reddick forgot how to play a ball off the wall.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, this team that was built to hit the baseball, like, to score 10 runs a game, goes out and scores 2 over 2 literal, like, win or go home games. Like, the second one, obviously, but...
And the other kind of unfortunate part of this is the Minnesota Twins, man, we let the cheating Astros back into the postseason.
Yeah, and they're all...
We were the gateway for this team. Like, we had the opportunity to stop them and say, no, you don't belong here.
Yep. And instead it was the exact opposite. Now they're using it as like, we're the underdogs here. We're the team you should be rooting for. You know, it's like, shut up. But can't say anything because the team I cheer for went and got stomped on 2 days in a row.
And just not even competitive ball.
Right. Just no fire in them, except for when Rosario got stupidly ejected for his last play in a Twins uniform. I get it. He shouldn't have been ejected, obviously. But you got to watch it. And I hate that the umpire ejected him. It was stupid, but you still got to watch yourself.
It was. And George Springer's in the dugout. George Springer's chirping, and he doesn't get tossed. But Eddie.
And
he
hit a bomb. Springer.
Yeah.
Did.
Wow.
Of course.
So did Correa. So.
Oh, okay. Or was it Springer? Maybe I'm wrong.
I believe it was Correa who hit that one at game two. And...
Right, okay.
And then did the Polanco play.
God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yep, you get the easy ground ball to get out of the inning. To go, I think it'd be, would it be the bottom nine?
Bottom nine, tied.
And it's easiest throw of his life. He makes it 99 No, 999 times out of 1,000. And he messed it up. Just a bad throw. Arise came off the bag. Lucky, got a glove on it. And they got their winning run.
I heard some people trying to pin this on Arise. And it's like, what?
If he has to dive for the ball, it's not his fault. Arise.
Jorge Polanco made a terrible throw.
Right. The throw was like a summary of just how his season overall went. Just an absolute embarrassment. Disappointing season all around for him. I guess Rocco said he had a lingering injury all season, but what an awful year for Polanco. Just capped off and highlighted by a terrible throw that potentially cost the Twins the series.
It did. It really did. You know, I feel like if they go in the bottom of the ninth, and they're still tied. It's a whole different ball game. But they ended up being, 4-1 in the bottom of the ninth? And it was over. And then people, you know, they want to blame Romo for that loss there in game one. And it's like, yes, Romo could have pitched better. Yes, he put runners on base. Yes, he walked in a run with the bases loaded. I understand that. But Romo did his job.
Yeah.
He got the ground ball that would have ended the inning.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess you could say he's got to pick up his infield, got to, you know, get the next guy. But Polanco messed it up big time. And in the playoffs, if you don't make that throw, it's obviously going to come back to bite you. Unless the Astros make an error in which the Twins just go, all right, we'll get the next three outs. Don't worry. But, yeah.
It's just
sad. And
it was
expected, though. I mean, I can't lie.
And I think now might be a good time to revisit what our keys to the postseason was, and right,
yes.
and what we thought might propel this team to victory, and
yes.
how none of it happened, because we had talked about Max Kepler, Miguel Sano, the health of Buxton and Donaldson in the bullpen. Well, Kepler didn't do anything. Miguel Sano didn't do anything. The closest thing he did to doing anything was a little dribbler that Alex Bregman makes a great play on.
Yep. And
but that was it.
He's all around for, of course, the whole offense, but Sano was terrible. Kepler was no good. The whole team, offensively, obviously, except for Nelson Cruz, was just a disappointment. Highlighted, we're going to highlight those two just because we did talk about them since they were coming back, and they were keys to the Twins coming into the year, and it didn't work out at all. Like, and then you mentioned Buxton and Donaldson before the series. Donaldson, it's announced he's not going to play. You know,
didn't play a game.
Right, signed for 4 years, biggest contract in Twins history. Doesn't play in the playoffs. Played 28 games total this year. Just a disappointment all around. And then Buxton did play game one. Right? Yeah, and then he did not play game two for.
He pinch ran in game two and gets picked off.
Yeah, and then got kneed in the head by the. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. Just he obviously had a concussion. He was wearing sunglasses on the base paths, and you know, a day when no one else is really wearing sunglasses, they throw it first. He gets picked off, gets kneed in the head. It's like just a disaster of a situation for him and the team.
And the bullpen, I don't know, they weren't like awful, but you know, we talked about Romo, and yes, like Romo had some bad luck there with Polanco not fielding the ball. Rogers had some struggles, and then who was Stashek relieved Berríos, which we'll talk about the only five innings from Berríos and that whole situation. But the bullpen really didn't do much to help this team either. So the 4 points that we had emphasized as being like the key to this team succeeding in the postseason, all four of them didn't happen, and they didn't play a game in October because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to pin the bullpen when the offense, like even to just mention them when the offense got 7 hits, like even if the bullpen was lights out, the Twins don't win. It's like they weren't awful. It's just they're highlighted, their struggles are by the fact that the Twins scored 2 runs.
Exactly. It was a very frustrating debacle of a series, if you even want to call it a series, a 2-game sweep.
Right. Yep. And just to kind of to cap off the how bad of a series this was and how disappointing all around, game two, Twins have Jose Berríos on the mound. For 6 years or whenever he came up, the Twins have been going, all right, we need this guy when it comes to playoff time to be the horse. We need him to be the guy who goes out and wins a game. And game two was that day. He went five innings, went through 75 pitches, gave up just one earned run. And Rocco goes up to him and goes, all right, your stats say you're going to be bad against in the third time against the order. And we're going to bring in Cody Stashek in a move I just hate. Jose Barrios was pitching his – it's the playoffs. Playoffs are not the regular season. You mid-July, you make that move, I guess. Sure, whatever, I don't care. Playoffs, you do not bring in Cody Stashek in a – was it a tie game at the time or Twins down by one? But either way –
I think we're down by one, okay, yeah.
Yeah. The playoffs are a different animal. You keep your best starting pitcher in the game at 75 pitches and let him keep shutting down the Astros lineup. Maybe he struggles out there. Oh, well, that's, you know, then it's Jose Barrios. You leave him out there. I don't know. I hate the move. I know you don't like it either.
I don't like it one bit. And I'm going to preface this by saying maybe I'm old school, whatever.
Sure.
I genuinely miss seeing elite starting pitching dominate for 7-8 innings in postseason baseball.
Six. Go six. Just, it's like five innings.
What? And I understand the analytics behind it, right, and not facing a lineup for the third time. And I'm not trying to discredit that here. But what happened to days of Pedro Martinez?
Yeah.
I mean, you rewind 6 years ago. Look what Madison Bumgarner did in the World Series, right? You need that level of dominance from a starting pitching staff to have postseason success. And yeah, Jose Barrios wasn't dominating the Astros. He had one whiff through five innings, but he was pitching well enough to,
right,
to go six innings, maybe into the seventh inning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just, right, no, nah, you're done.
No. Like, what do you say? It's game two of the playoffs. You win or go home. You're Jose Barrios. Your manager comes up to you. You're pitching great. You're having, you know, you're doing good. Hey, Jose, you're doing really good, but you suck when the third time of the order rolls around. So we're pulling you for a second year. Cody Stashek who imploded in the playoffs last year. It's like, okay,
you've lost at this point. They had lost 17 postseason games in a row. Their backs are against the ropes. They're facing elimination. Your second best pitcher on your team is on the mound. And it's just, you're done. We're going to bring in Cody Stashek.
For two innings. He went out for the sixth, did well. Like, okay, then fine. You know, fine. He goes up to the sixth, does well. Then you bring in someone else. He went out for two innings. Cody Stashek. And of course he gave up a bomb. Of course he did.
Like, of course he did.
Just makes sense. And that just epitomized it. Like, you couldn't let Barrios go six and then have Stashek go in the seventh and throw just one inning.
And then Duffy, right? Yeah, and exactly. Then the eighth. There's so many things that they could have done differently. And it's very easy to sit here now on Sunday and the series has been over for a couple of days and whatever to look back on it and be that, you know, armchair quarterback, whatever word you want to use, and say Rocco was wrong. But even in the moment, Rocco was wrong.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. I think maybe he learned, like, after the game, he was making comments like, okay, I get it. This team sucks in the playoffs. Like, I've got to make changes. I get it. Like, something's got to change. So maybe he's realizing. Maybe he did have a bad series managing overall. Also, the Williams Estadio pinch hit in game one.
What was
the worst thing?
Yeah.
Immediate ground into a double play. It's like, whatever.
But also, the Mitch Garver pinch hit at bat.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know. And then they immediately replaced him for Avila?
They used four catchers that game, man.
And Garver struck out?
Right, on like four pitches. It was just a horrible at bat.
I don't understand why he did that.
No, it didn't make any sense. Garver hadn't been playing well all year. Jeffers had been playing well this year. It made I genuinely was shocked by it. It just made no sense. But it was just kind of another move, this series of bad moves. Like, ugh.
And I guess the last thing I'll say on this topic is,
right,
and this isn't like a Rocco Baldelli specific thing, but managers in general, they tend to do things in the postseason that they would never do in the regular season. And it always just kind of begs the question to me of why are we doing this, right? Like, okay, in this 60-game season, the Twins won, what, 36, 37 games?
Yeah, around there, sure. Okay. I don't know the exact number.
So you win 36, 37 games out of 60 by doing things a certain way. Now, all of a sudden, when your backs are against the wall and you're facing elimination, you're going to do something entirely different than what you've done that won you 37 games.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time in the postseason. Managers do things that they would never do, and it hardly ever works.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you just think he's – you think hopefully he's learned. Like, obviously, I'm not a better manager or anything. He's really good, but he had an awful series managing the Twins. And, I mean, hopefully he's learned. Hopefully he'll be better next year, and because they'll probably be back. Will they win a game? It's just, it's tough.
We hope so. We don't want to get 21-0. Right. And on that same topic of doing things that are out of the ordinary, the emergence of Alex Kirilloff in the postseason.
Yeah. So all season I was kind of thinking, all right, is it time for Kirilloff? And instead it's he replaces Josh Donaldson on the playoff roster. He hasn't played a game since 2019. I like the call-up. Kirilloff's great. I love that he's playing for the Twins. But why wouldn't you have called him up earlier instead of having his first game be an elimination game, right? I mean,
right. His first major league at-bat is the bases loaded with two outs in an elimination game. Like, welcome to the big leagues.
Right. Not only first at-bat of his major league career, first at-bat just in general in over a year, like in a baseball game. Like
in a competitive, in a team. I mean, he was in the alternate site and the interest squad, so he was getting at-bats. He's
doing things.
He's seeing live pitches. It's not like he hadn't seen live pitching in over a year, but your first competitive at-bat against a different colored jersey in a year is your first big league at-bat in a postseason elimination game with the bases loaded and two outs.
Right. So then the question comes up, why during the season did Lamont Wade come up for two games every month? And why is, you know, or even Jake Cave, why isn't he taking the place of one of them if he's going to be the guy in the playoffs? It just, you know, that sucks if that's the reason. I can't imagine, like, maybe, but it just doesn't make sense then to call him up in the playoffs if that is the reason. Like, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
It was a very curious situation. But I was impressed by Kirilloff. I mean, he has some good at-bats. He made some great plays. And as the ESPN broadcast was kind of clowning, I mean, it doesn't technically count as his first big league hit.
Right.
Weird. Yeah, all around weird.
No, yeah. He did impress. His swings were good. He's been described even by, like, Trevor May as, like, Joe Mauer level bat to ball skills and stuff. So, I mean, who knows? But he did emerge. I'm excited to see what he can do, and he will likely be on the opening day roster. Where is the question? Where will he be? Will he be taking Eddie Rosario's place in the outfield? But he's also been playing first base in 2019. Will he go there? Will Donaldson go to DH, send him back to third? Right. I don't know. There's a lot of scenarios opened up.
We'll touch on that in a little bit here. But yeah, you know, it was strange, but it was also, in a way, kind of welcomed.
Yeah.
I felt kind of bad for him to be thrown into that situation, making his big league debut, but he handled himself well, and it's just, it's unfortunate.
He looked really calm.
He did. And he made some great plays in right field.
Yeah. He did. Kepler should have caught that ball that he had to dive for, but it's a whole different thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So good for Alex Kirilloff. He made his debut. We all got to see him for a game.
Yeah. So on that note, we're just going to get a quick word here from the sponsors, and we'll move on to upcoming free agents for the season. All right. So we are back, and we're going to just touch on some players who will either hit free agency or be brought back this offseason. First up, designated hitter Nelson Cruz, who has expressed interest in coming back, and the front office has expressed interest in bringing him back. So, I mean, he did look a bit slow down at the end, but what are your thoughts on bringing Cruz back for hopefully just a one-year deal? Do you think he'll want more than one?
Okay, so if they can bring him back on a one-year deal, I'm all for it. My one concern, biggest concern, is that with the expanded DH now being in both leagues, likely as a permanent thing, there's going to be so many more suitors for Nelson Cruz that might create a bidding war. And so the only hope is that Nelson Cruz genuinely wants to remain in Minnesota, and he's willing to take an annual salary comparable to what he earned last year, because I don't think the Twins want to get into a bidding war with 24 other
I mean, he's, what, 41 now? I can't imagine there's going to be teams.
But look at what he just did.
But he did slow down at the end with injuries. The signs are certainly there. They can't be ignored at this point.
Right. The aging is there. I mean, it's what you would expect from a guy in his early 40s. But he still produced at a very high level. Like, we had the Twins Daily, awards ranking. Nelson Cruz is my 2020 Minnesota Twins MVP.
Yeah, that is true. See, I'm with you. If you can get him for 1 year on the same, 12 to 15, I do it for sure. But anything more than 1 year, I'm letting him walk.
But that also brings up the question of, would you rather commit, let's just call it, $14 million to a 41-year-old Nelson Cruz, or $500,000 to Brent Rooker?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to spit, if you plan on for Bauer.
Right.
But they could probably get him anyway. I don't think Nelson Cruz for 14 would hurt the Twins' chances of getting a guy like Bauer. So
it probably wouldn't. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially on a 1 year deal.
Now, yeah, exactly. Now, if another team comes in a bidding war and all of a sudden his price goes up to $26 million,
right, then I'm done.
I think the Twins are out.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe Crew, maybe he is looking for the money and he's able to get up to the low 20s. I stop at 15, I think. He's good. He's really good, but he's going to be 42. 41, 42.
Exactly. And it's got to be smart about that. And I think anything beyond a 1 year is stupid. Maybe Absolutely. A 1 year with a mutual team option. Yeah, team or mutual option, no player option. It's going to be tricky. I think there's a lot of mutual interest. I would be happy to bring him back at a reasonable price on a 1 year deal.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. And I mean, not much more you can say there. DH, hopefully getting back for the same price he was already on. So moving on there, two bullpen guys we can kind of lump together. Trevor May and Tyler Clippard are both going to be May the fireballer in the bullpen, and Clippard the guy who was just kind of signed for $5 million this year and was top three reliever for the Twins. I would love to have both of them back. I mean, if they can for under $10 million each, but I don't know how that's going to work out, especially with this year's money. Just how much players it's going to be. We have no idea how that's going to go right now, but I would love to have them both back.
Yeah, the free agent market in general is going to be tricky, just given the COVID shortened season and the lost revenue and how willing ownership is going to be to commit to big money. But certainly Trevor May and Tyler Clippard are two guys that I would absolutely love to see them bring back. I think Tyler Clippard is a much easier option to bring back. I don't necessarily see a lot of league-wide demand for Tyler Clippard.
No.
But with Trevor May, I can see it. He has the high-velocity fastball. He has the stuff to potentially be a borderline, if not elite, bullpen arm. So there is that attractiveness to him. And it's the same thing, I guess, with Nelson Cruz. And it's if the bidding war gets out of hand, no, I'm not going to bring Trevor May back for an obscene amount of money. But if the Twins can retain him for a reasonable amount, absolutely. Do it. He's a good bullpen arm.
For sure. And Trevor May is like, if the right team gets a hold of him, he could turn into the next Ryan Presley, like just one of the best arms in baseball, in my opinion. He's got the stuff. Like the Twins could be that team. They just haven't yet. Maybe a fresh team gets him and he turns into one of the best relievers in baseball. Like he's certainly got the stuff, I think. And, you know, if some other team gets him for 10 mil and turns him into that, well, then you're like, well, what the heck? But I do hope for the best for both of them, obviously. I'd love to see May do really well. I love the guy, but yeah, I don't know if he ends up back in the Twins uniform.
Yeah, again, I think Clifford's more of a lock to come back. Yeah, Trevor May, I'd love to see him back, but I won't be surprised if he ends up going elsewhere. But it's certainly in the Twins' best interest to do what they can to bring him back right. for 2021.
For sure. And yeah, next guy, another bullpen arm. Sergio Romo, although the Twins do have a $5 million club option on him, do you accept it or do you decline? Like, that's – I might decline. I think I decline right now. I think Romo kind of slowed down at the end. I decline and try to get him back for a cheaper price maybe, but I don't want to pay him $5 million.
So I'm going to say accept it. I feel like if you decline that option and you try to bring him back for cheaper, you run the risk of him just kind of saying screw you and looking to go elsewhere. I think even in his late 30s, Sergio Romo is certainly still a very serviceable major league bullpen option. You know, is he an all-star level dominant late inning guy that he once was? Realistically, no, he's not. But he's still a guy that can make a lot of bullpens a lot better. And they have that easy option to bring him back at $5 million, which isn't overly expensive. So, absolutely, go ahead and bring back Sergio Romo.
Yeah, so say it's like the same with the Cruz situation. Like you said, would you rather have Cruz for 14 or Rooker for 500K? It's like, right. I'd like Romo back, but would I rather have Romo for 5 mil or, screw, I don't know, another version of Jorge Alcala, just another guy they can call up, be just as good as Romo for 500K? Like, I think Romo's kind of on the downswing, like, for sure. Like Cruz, but much more dramatic. He just didn't look good at all to me at the end of the year. And if he does, if I would not accept the option.
That's yeah, but I mean, $5 million though really isn't that steep. For even sure, though, we are talking about a guy who's entering his age 38 season. I still think it's worth it for the Twins to pick up the option, pay him $5 million. And just have a guy like Sergio Romo in their bullpen who, yes, is not going to be an all-star. He's not going to light the world on fire, but he is also a phenomenal clubhouse guy. And that does carry some weight, right? You do need those guys on your team that are a positive influence in the clubhouse, and Romo is absolutely that guy. And he is still a capable, serviceable major league pitcher. So absolutely, pick up the option, $5 million, keep Sergio Romo on your roster. All right. At least for me, it's almost sure, a no-brainer.
Sure. Okay. And, you know, this decision will be made here and soon. It won't, no matter what they do, it won't make or break the team in any way. $5 million will not hurt. And when it happens, we'll talk about it, discuss what we think of it. But, yeah, right now I do not. You do. That's interesting, but we'll, you know, not something to get upset over. If they accept it, I won't. Like, okay, cool. But moving on to the final guy on this list that we are going to talk about here, Jake Odorizzi, who I have no idea about. He pitched every time he pitches here. He got hurt and was immediately put back on the IL. He was not used in the playoffs for some reason. Like, if he would have hit the market last year, he would have got a Zach Wheeler type deal, but now he's hoping for like a 1 year, $15 million. It's looking like just to redeem himself. I have no idea.
Absolutely, and I kind of feel for Jake a little bit. You know, he accepted the qualifying offer to take a gamble on himself, and then things out of his control happen. We had the COVID shortened season, and then he gets the injuries, and you don't necessarily get a real picture of where Jake Odorizzi is at right now in his career. He is in his 30s. I think he's 30 or 31. And it's now, I think it's going to be a tough free agent market for Jake Odorizzi. And I think it absolutely is in his best interest to, again, take a one-year deal in that $15, $16 million range. And if you have a healthy Jake Odorizzi for $15 million a year, that's a pretty solid investment. This guy was an all-star in 2019. Jake Odorizzi is a very good pitcher, right? And the Twins yes. aren't necessarily loaded with starting pitching depth outside of Maeda and Berríos. So absolutely, bring back Jake Odorizzi on a short-term deal and slot him in behind Maeda, Berríos, and then you have Odorizzi, and that's a really good front three.
I agree. If he's willing to take that one-year redemption, prove it type deal, then absolutely do it. That's a just a. I mean, we talked about kind of before the season. Just like if you got those three in a rotation, it looks really good, and it looked even better with how Maeda pitched last year. It's just, yeah, if they're all healthy, it's good to go. Just to recap this segment here, I'll ask you: out of these five, which ones, as many as you want, will be on the team next year?
All right. Nelson Cruz, Jake Odorizzi, and Sergio Romo.
Ooh, all right. I'll go Cruz, Odo, and Clippard.
Okay. So we had we'll the, right. we had two of the same. Right. I mean, Clippard and Romo, I touched on, I think bringing back Clippard is kind of a no-brainer. Depends on if he gets other offers, but at least with Romo, they have the option. And so that's why I went with Romo.
No, I get it.
Because there is club control there. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Clippard over Romo.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see. Maybe we'll both be wrong. It'll only be, just Trevor May, which would be weird. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess we both count out Trevor May just there, didn't we?
We did. I think he's going to get a lot of offers, and it's up to the Twins to match that, to open up the checkbook and pay Trevor May. And I'm a Pollad pocket protector, but I don't know if the Pollads are going to want to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And this is something we'll go over much more of as the offseason progresses, but just one more thing here to talk about. What could 2021 look like? Alex Kirilloff has proven we've seen him for one game, but he looks major league ready. He's been talked about as major league ready for about a year now. He'll likely be on the opening day roster. Same with, maybe Brent Rooker fights for that job. Trevor Larnach. Is Eddie Rosario on the team in 2021? I don't think so.
Yeah, I really don't think so. And I know I'm in the minority here, but I love Eddie Rosario. people like to hate on him, but Eddie Rosario is a good baseball player. But he is likely going to be gone. I don't see the Twins tendering him an $11, $12 million contract, whatever it's going to be with arbitration, especially considering the fact that, hey, we have Alex Kirilloff, Brent Rooker, just ready and waiting. They've shown they can play at this level, and they're about $11.5 million cheaper. So I don't see any room for Eddie Rosario. I really don't. And so that definitely does open up the spot for an Alex Kirilloff. I think Alex Kirilloff is likely more of your everyday starting outfielder than Brent Rooker is. Brent Rooker's more of your fourth outfielder, DH, maybe first base. But I do certainly want to see Rooker get at least 3 to 4 starts a week.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Kirilloff should be hopefully an everyday guy. He's it's about time for him. And with Rooker, if he's your fourth outfielder, that's really good. And I think that's what the Twins are likely going to go for. That's a great bench bat to have. He can fill in. Maybe they'll try to put him back at first base. I know he didn't play there at all in 2019, but maybe, I don't know, who knows. Kirilloff has actually been the guy they put at first base because they didn't know they'd be acquiring Donaldson, moving Sano there. But yeah, right. Kirilloff can certainly play first base. He can play left field, right field, DH, so, of course, but yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I don't necessarily want to see Kirilloff go into that solely as a DH.
For sure.
I don't want to see a rookie do that so early on in his career. But to pivot a little bit, and we didn't necessarily have this plan, but what did the Twins do with Royce Lewis? You look at the infield, Donaldson, Polanco, Arraez, Sano. Where do you really have room for him?
Shortstop, if Polanco doesn't pick it up. I mean, honestly, he had the atrocious season. You can't keep putting, like, if Polanco hadn't been so good before, his numbers look like a player you designate for assignment. His 2020 was awful.
No, that's valid. Yeah, it's true. But he was playing injured, and you are talking about the starting shortstop of the 2019
in a 60-game season. Yeah.
Right. So, like, and I'm not ready to sit here and say Jorge Polanco is not a good baseball player.
No, definitely.
He is. Like, he's a very good player, and he made great strides defensively. I just feel like, of all of the top prospects, and I love Alex, I love Alex Kirilloff, but I love Royce Lewis. I just feel that Royce Lewis is kind of the odd man out, and he might be that trade chip.
I don't think you can do that. I think Arraez and Polanco are both very vulnerable to having their spot taken by a potential franchise-changing player like Royce Lewis.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, we can get into this more a different week, but man, yeah, you got Royce Lewis right now. He could be the guy, like, for sure. Him and Kirilloff could be that duo that
right.
the Twins need.
It certainly could be. And that's what I mean by, like, I love Royce Lewis. Like, I absolutely want to see Royce Lewis in a Minnesota Twins uniform. I just feel like with the way the roster's constructed right now, there's no spot for him. Unless you have extreme regression from Arraez and Polanco. But Polanco's also tied into a contract. Right? They just extended him.
True. I mean, he's getting like $5 to $7 million per year.
Maybe. True.
Yeah. It's like
the other option would be if they don't bring back Nelson Cruz and maybe you have the conversation.
Sano
with
moves
the,
to DH or Donaldson.
Or Donaldson, right, with the cap issue. Can we mitigate that by utilizing him as a DH and limiting the amount of time he spends on the field? Now that certainly opens up a spot for Royce Lewis, right? So there's options there. But as it's constructed currently, Royce Lewis is kind of the odd man out.
Yeah. I mean, I think Royce Lewis is too good to be that. They, no matter what, they will make room for him. They'll find a way. There's no way they don't do something to get Royce Lewis in there. He's just that good of a prospect.
He is.
They have options, you know. As we said, one of Donaldson or Sano could easily move to DH within a year or two for sure, because Cruz won't be here for that long.
Right. And that move to DH would certainly make that situation a hell of a lot easier. I don't think Royce Lewis is on the roster to start 2021, but I certainly think Kirilloff and Rucker are going to be on the roster on opening day.
Agreed.
And I think Ryan Jeffers starts over Mitch Garver. Opening day 2021.
Spring training will have a huge, that'll be a huge battle to watch all spring, I think.
It will be. And if people have listened to this show all season, you know I'm not a huge fan of Mitch Garver, but I want to see the guy do well. I just don't think that he's as good as we think he is. And I think Ryan Jeffers is a better long-term option. So I hope that he starts opening day 2021, which is 147 days away.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we'll be here until then every week someday. So, you know, we'll see. I'll see you next week. Are you all good here?
I'm all set. Yeah, awesome. We're good.
This was a good one. A good podcast. You know, start the off season well. But yeah, see you next week.
Have a good night.